Welcome to Your Dog's Best Friend. I'm Tracy Hotchner, and I'm excited to be here with my co-host, Sarah Hodgson. More than a dog trainer, Sarah is truly your dog's best friend, and she knows you want to be your own dog's best friend, too. She's a people trainer for dogs, cheerfully bridging the gap between humans and canines. Sarah can help you and your dog communicate better. When dogs talk, Sarah listens. We'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting the show and want you to know we've invited these companies to be here. To get a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for dogs and cats, send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. Stay tuned tonight for Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney right after this show. This show is a production of Eight Paws LLC and When Dogs Talk, which are solely responsible for its content. Call us with any questions you have about your dog's behavior or training. Our number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Give us a call. And I don't want to disappoint anybody, but Pet Food Advisors, we switched the schedule. We didn't mean to pull a fast one on you. It actually played right before Sarah's and my show. So if you missed it and you're thinking, hey, hang on, don't whine, it's going to be up in podcast tonight. So you can catch it later. And from now on, the other shows will be at 7, and Sarah and I will be at 8, and the other 8 p.m. shows will stay the same, at least for now. Hey, Sarah, how are you doing tonight?
I'm terrific, Tracy. How's it going up there?
Well, wet, soggy, wet, soggy, wet, soggy, wet. It's gross. It's enough. My dogs run out. They have a pee. 17 raindrops later, they come back in. How about you?
Oh, my guys, all love the rain. We slosh around in the rain.
Oh, aren't you funny?
My daughter and I love to wash our hair in the rain.
Oh, and no, that's so cool. Seriously?
Yeah, it has to be a little warmer. Today was in the 60s. But, yeah, anything 70s and above. I did it as a kid, and I never heard anybody else doing it. One day my daughter came in and said, can we wash our hair in the rain? And I felt my soulmate.
I think that is – oh, you, Lindsay, your daughter Lindsay. I love that. And I've never heard of that either. And every mom and daughter out there, embrace this idea. I suppose we old folks could do it too, but it's more delightful with a kid who probably giggles the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, you can, of course, you can wash your dogs outside, but you need a hose in addition to the rain because you really got to rinse them. I suppose you could wash them and let them go in a big lake or a pond to rinse off.
Well, we live on a lake, so that's exactly what we do. We all go out with our shampoo, and everybody gets a bath.
Oh, my God. And I suppose knowing you, it's very eco-friendly shampoo, and it won't hurt any fish or toads or anything. Are here happy and delighted to answer any of your dog behavior and training questions. 888-429-5471. And we already have a call from Gil. Gil, welcome to Your Dog's Best Friend.
Hi, Tracy.
Gil, I can't wait for you to meet Sarah. Sarah, Gil is only just the coolest guy on the whole planet. He's on his – do I get this right, Gil? He's on his fourth seeing eye dog. He is the most cool guy. He goes all over the world. His last dog, Evie, the furry Ferrari, or was that her predecessor? They did 100,000 air miles all over the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, showing people that were visually impaired a GPS you could hold in your hand in any city – any place on the planet, with or without a guide dog, and it would help you find your way. Hey, Gil, it's great to have you calling in. Gil has sort of been my guardian angel tonight because one of my listeners from the old SiriusXM days, Carmelita, who's blind, couldn't figure out how to use our player on the website or off of any website. Like Sarah has the player on her website called When Dogs Talk. And by the way, I really recommend going to her website. Great blogs, Sarah, for the Huffington Post. You are a wonderful writer. Gil, did you come up with a solution for people who are visually impaired and can't find the click to listen button?
Well, if the unfortunately, the SiriusXM player isn't accessible.
No, I don't mean the SiriusXM. The heck with them. No, we don't want SiriusXM. We want Radio Pet Lady Network.
Right. On your website, I think the problem is she's using a screen reader that isn't compatible with Windows 8 right now. It will be, but it's not compatible right now, and so it just doesn't navigate the way it is. I listen all the time, and I use a screen reader and don't have any problems. So I sent the information on what I was using.
Thank you.
That's actually
you're
a free
doll.
Screen reader.
Okay, so anybody out there that's visually impaired and wants to be able to listen to the show, and somehow you've gotten to us maybe in podcast, but you wish you could ask Sarah a question in real time, write me, radiopetlady@gmail.com. Send your mailing address. You'll get Whole Life Pet Treats. You can ask a question that Sarah and I will answer on the air, but I'll also get Gil's instructions and copy and paste them. Gil has a new dog, Sarah. Well, new-ish. How old is young Satch? A year and a half now?
Three and a half.
Okay, that's great. So I have
our second anniversary. July 4th will be our second anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
I've
totally lost track of time. Good. Ask us or ask Sarah. Wonderful.
Okay. He's very responsive. He's very quick. He has a bag full of training and tricks, and I've trained him to do a lot of things. But I've got one stumbling block, and it drives me nuts. When he wants to come in, he'll just stand at the door, then he'll start to whine, and then he'll moan. And I'm trying to teach him to speak at the door, like all my other dogs, except Evie, who thumped on the door. But all my other
Sarah,
dogs have always
Sarah has
you know,
a solution. Sarah, don't you have a product of your very own?
No. Tell me, Gil, is this when he's coming inside from outside or going?
Yes.
So it's when
coming in.
You are calling him in.
No problem going out.
So are you opening the door and calling to him and he's not crossing the threshold?
No. When he comes back to the door, I'll let him out. And when he comes back to the door when he wants in, we have a large fenced-in backyard, and he can go out and roam at will and whatever, and when he wants to come in, he'll come a lot of times, and of course, I can't see him, and he'll just stand at the door, and then he'll whine, and then if I don't happen to hear him, then he does this ungodly moan.
I have to get my lab over here. I call it the Chewbacca.
That's the sound?
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, it's
but
a riot.
I'm trying to teach him to bark or speak at the door. And I've taught him a ton of other stuff. But
what about a doorbell, Sarah? A doggy doorbell that he steps on. Do you like those?
I can teach him. It's funny because my older dog, Whoopsie, if you go to my site, there's a picture of her when she was young, and now she's
That won't be helpful, Sarah, to Gil.
Right. Well, she's beautiful, but I had to teach her to speak. I had to teach her to speak for a movie, so I'll tell you how to do that. But meanwhile, are you having trouble getting her to come in the house?
Oh, no, not at all. No.
Okay,
when he wants to come in, when he comes up to the door and wants to come in, he'll just stand there, won't say anything. Then he'll start to whine. And then if somebody doesn't come in a minute or so, then he does that Chewbacca wail. And what I'm trying to do is just get him to speak to let me know that he's at the door, which all of my other dogs have done.
You can do two things. As Tracy said, she has a bark somewhere, but I've only heard it about 3 times in 11 years.
Wow.
And she has this Chewbacca thing that's hysterical. People think it's a child being, run over by a car, which is effective. It's her noise. And what I taught her to do instead was to ring a bell with her nose. And I know they actually have physical doorbells that you can put vertical on your door. Teach
right.
him to touch it with his nose, and it will ring a bell into the house.
Or there's one you can step on that's horizontal, Sarah.
Yeah, right.
And Satch could definitely learn that. Put your foot on the bell, you get
right.
a treat. Put your foot on the bell, I open the door. Is that what you do, Sarah? Like,
yeah,
foot on the bell, treat, foot on the bell, door, so he kind of gets the treat and the door and the bell all together?
Well, what? Is he food motivated? Does he love his food?
Well, he's a lab.
Yeah. I know. It's rare that they don't, but what I did with Whoopsie to teach her to bark, she had to be in a commercial and she had to bark, is I took her food bowl and I put her outside the door. And I opened the door just a tiny crack, enough that she could see the bowl. I had a spoon. I was tapping the bowl. And when she would get frustrated enough, she would make a huffing sound. And that was enough. And I'd open it and give it to her. And I did that for, you know, a few meals. And then I got a, and I was like, that's good. I started to say speak. And that I made her, I portioned the meal into about six portions. So each time. And lo and behold, a week later, they, you know, she had to go audition for this part. And they, the funny thing is, they've given her a voiceover. So she looks up like a bark. See in here. You're going to listen to the whole show, right, Gil? I'll get whoopsie in here during commercial. I'll show you this bark. She has a riot. Anyhow, that's what I would do. So if you're going to use the step on the foot, the doorbell, make it the same thing. You know, have him.
Okay.
Does he gives paw, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He shakes. So he does a high five. He, you know, goes to the gate. I taught him a ton of stuff, but I can't teach him to speak.
But if he you just, take this
It's funny doorbell. Because I'll say, okay, woof, you know, and
right. Nothing.
My wife Nothing. Says, he looks at me like, okay, you said it, I don't need to.
But get this little horizontal bell.
I think that the bell you step on, now, Gil, if you're handy, or your wife is, or somebody knows really handy, my neighbor made one. I don't know how he did it, but it's a piece of, it was, but he's clever carpenter. It's like an open square of wood, and then some kind of a very simplistic bell, and then a piece of wood or something on top. I mean, it's not that expensive. I know that Foster's and Smith and Orvis and those various catalogs, they have a step-on doorbell, and he'll get it immediately. And my guess is that you could probably do a variation on what Sarah said, which is have him stand outside the door. Should he put the treat right near the door?
Can you maybe hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay. What I would do is take the bell and a treat or his food. Just take the bell and a treat. Hold it down about 2 inches from the floor and encourage him to give paw. And when the paw hits the bell, say hit it. It doesn't even have to be activated to the, you know, the ding dong right now. You're just getting him used to feeling the texture, feeling the compression of the bell.
Right.
So paw, hit it, treat him. Until until he sees the device and immediately hits it. Then put him outside the door, activate the sound, let him hear the sound a couple of times, put it down, crack the thing open just slightly, and say, Satch, hit it. When he hits it, give him a little bit of his dinner. And then, you know, within 2 days, he'll be ringing the bell.
The only thing I'm worried about, Gil, is if he thinks it's the funniest and most fun thing he's ever done, he's going to be out there playing the banjo on that bell, like, do, do, do,
I know.
Do, do.
I know, and that's just
hit
him.
Hit it, Satch. It's a great question. It's a fantastic question.
Of pure happy.
Now, there's one other thing, but you wouldn't hear it inside, especially in the winter. Those doggy bells that hang off of the door handle, Sarah, right? Those are more for the inside.
Well, I sell those on Amazon.
I thought you did. That's why I said you had a product, but you were being modest.
They're variations on the theme. You know, you get all sorts of bells. And I just have them hung at my dog's nose level. I have two because I have a 100-pound dog and I have a 10-pound dog. So we have two bells. And they're next to the door. So they're not hung on the door. They're not being
activated. Oh, right. That's smart.
Every time my kids run in and out.
Right.
But the dogs know to ring them to get our attention. And people get the biggest kick out of being at my house and hearing a bell. And they're like, what is the bell? And I'm like, well, that's whoopsie. She has to go out. So, and now
it's terrific.
It's no problem. I mean, you know, he's on a regular schedule. I know what his schedule is. But if he needs to go out, he comes and gets me and just hot breaths me. And I say, oh, you need to go out. And then he starts dancing and he jigs himself right out. So.
He's a very smart and wonderful
this
boy.
In thing
well, let's. Here. I hope it works out. We want you to call back and let us know because we always like to know success stories or frustration. We are going to help you whatever it's going to take, that boy's going to turn into a Fuller Brush salesman. Ding dong, Avon calling. He's going to be great at this, right?
Right.
Gil, thank you for calling, and thanks for helping with the visually impaired issue. I'm sure that it will get sorted out eventually. Have a great night. Give Satch a big, fat hug from both of us.
I will do it, and thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure. Have a great night. Sarah, Gil's dog Satch is a totally 100% The Honest Kitchen dog. Lucy Poston's at The Honest Kitchen has given him food for life as an ambassador because Gil wasn't sure why Evie died. She was only 5 when she got cancer, and he was nervous about food in general. So he now serves the most healthy and marvelous food, and he's a Honest Kitchen ambassador, and I know you love the company, so I thought you'd enjoy knowing that.
Yes, thank you.
It's very cool. We're going off to a break. When we get back, our number is 888-429-5471. We have John holding patiently. John, we're going to be to you in just 1 minute. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Woruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Woruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods. Woruva chooses not to make any dry food because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feelaway diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who have just left their litters. Look for Feelaway and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. Welcome back to Your Dog's Best Friend. Sarah Hodgson is your dog's best friend. Her website, When Dogs Talk, is chock-a-block with info and videos and photos, and it's really great, and you should sign up for her blog on the Huffington Post because it's always super interesting. Sarah, we have a call from John. John, welcome to the show. How can we help you?
Hi, Tracy and Sarah. Thanks for taking my call.
It's a pleasure. Sure. Thank you for calling.
I have a 10-week-old yellow lab, and as you can imagine, I have plenty of questions, but I won't
I'll
pick up the entire show.
All right, hit it, because we wanted actually to talk about people that have gotten puppies. There's a gal that I knew of that I was going to talk to Sarah about, and our conversation with you will be very helpful to her. She couldn't call in tonight, but she'll listen on podcast. The challenges of a young puppy, and you know, housebreaking I guess is high on everyone's list, and destructive normal behavior, but there's so many things. So we want to know any of your questions, because all of it is an opportunity for other people to learn, so we're happy to help.
Excellent. Yes, I mean, the biting, the chewing of the furniture, that's a constant and to be expected. But one thing that we have run into while we're trying to crate train our puppy is that he's very good now. We've had him for almost 2 weeks. The first couple nights were tough, obviously. But now he goes in the crate and spends at night. He spends the majority of the night in the crate, and he's fine. The problem is when we is getting him in the crate. And as soon as we get him in, he tries to jump out. And so we're having difficulty. We've been putting treats in, trying to lure him in, and he'll kind of keep his hind legs out of the crate. So he's very, very smart at 10 weeks old. But as soon as we try to shut the door, he'll jet out.
Let me just interrupt, John, because there's one very simple solution that I'm aware of, and then Sarah will add to it. It's like the horse loading in the gate at the horse races. You know, they're trapped and they only go in there once or twice a month or a year or something. The crate needs to be open. The door needs to be open all the time. And many good things need to happen inside that crate outside of nighttime when the door shuts, so that you make it that den-like place with a very comfortable something to lie on in there. Maybe you even serve a meal or something in there.
Absolutely.
You throw a ball in there. This is he's not just smart. The way you're using it as a jail, a puppy jail, he's right to say, no. I want that to be a place that's safe and fun for me. I know you're going to slam the door shut, you darn jailer. So, Sarah, any other thoughts on that? I mean, it has to be his place where he goes to take a nap. It has to be that nice in there. And maybe – do you have one that's open wire all the way around?
It is, yes.
Okay, so you can throw a blanket over it, half of it, to make it more cozy.
I always encourage people when they're starting off with a young puppy to think of the crate like tucking a child into a crib or a bed. You definitely want it to feel secure and to feel safe. And dogs really think of a crate not so – if it's not presented as a jail, if it's presented as like a little den area, a little bed area, you can put a blanket over it or get a secured one. I find the ones that work the best with puppies are either small or made slightly smaller with a crate divider. They have a top on them. As Tracy said, you use it as a place to feed them. What the crate enables you to do is help the puppy, especially a lab, because I have a lab and a retriever mix, and they are very impulsive and they're very drawn to distractions. It helps them concentrate on the here and now. So if you put the puppy in with his food, if you sit at the edge of the crate and you can put it on a word, you know, go night, night, time for sleep, use it. During restful times, use it when the puppy's going down for their nap. Use it in the nighttime for quiet times, but also, as Tracy said, use it throughout the day. I would invest, you can find these at tag sales, rummage sales, just a normal crate, a normal, not open, fold out playpen, but a normal crate. And, you know, most of my dogs are conditioned out of the crate by 5 months. And how I do this is I take the blanket that's used for sleep time, the blankets that's used for nap times. And young puppies should have two naps twice a day for a minimum of 2 hours. And if they are not properly sleep trained in their quiet area and it's not scheduled, they get very nippy, very manic and very frenetic. So a lot of the problems people have with puppies can be solved through sleep training. And you can, I have plenty of articles on it on my website. If you write, you know, puppy needs, puppy sleep training, you'll find some articles. But,
John, does that make sense to you when she says a normal crate? She means those hard plastic-sided ones that are kind of icky-looking usually, and they're used for airplane travel. Do you mean the wire one that's wire all the way around?
Yeah.
Oh, because you said normal. There is no normal
Either
anymore.
One.
There's so many different options.
I know. God, you
there's
can
also
whisper, you can...
Yeah, there's beautiful wooden ones. So anyway, John, you got the drift on that, right, is that the crate is...
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not a jail. You also
Absolutely.
Know you do have to get up in the middle of the night, just like if you have any children, you or your wife got up to, in her case, breastfeed, or in your case, bottle feed. There is no such thing as sleeping through the night for the vast majority of puppies.
Oh,
they can't hold it that long, you know. So I'm so sorry how sleep-deprived you must be. Okay, so the crate is one thing.
No.
And then you said, well, this destruction is normal. Did you notice him saying that, Sarah? I'm not sure that I believe that. You don't have to sacrifice any part of your house to a puppy. You simply have to have supervised time when he's free and offer some much better options. Sarah, I'm sure you don't tolerate destructiveness.
Well, you know, everybody has their laundry list, so let's not get too highfalutin here because puppies do chew, and I could mention a few things I've lost in the past month that I don't get hung up on, including some Legos and a few stuffed animals. But the key thing is, Tracy is spot on. You want to create a puppy-proofed area, like a kitchen, that you keep clear of distractibles, and what you put down for the puppy, you label. So you say, get your bone, or here's your toy, or here's your ball. So your puppy has an identity with specific objects that is impressioned at a very, very young age. You create a little mat, a little station area in the kitchen where you put the toys after he's through playing with them, or you encourage him. It's a him or her?
It's a him.
Yeah, that you encourage him to return to. So he now knows not only what his toys are, but he knows where to look for them. He knows to go to his mat if he feels distracted. A lot of times they'll go to a couch, or they'll go to a table rung or a chair or a shoe because they can predictably find it. Well, you start conditioning this in your young puppy that when you want something to chew, let's go. When your puppy looks at you with a blank face, you're right in thinking he doesn't know what to do. So you tell him, what's his name?
Nosset.
You say, Nosset, where's your bone? Let's go find your bone. And you show him what that is. So as he ages and he gets a little older, he gets a light bulb off in his own head, and he thinks, I'm going to go to my mat. Then when you stretch his expanse out in the home, you can get another mat, you can bring the mat in, and it's the same pattern, same routine. Mat's at the periphery. Your toys can be found on the mat. You have your bone. When it gets a little bit older, you can condition the concept of no. This is yours. This is mine. But right now, he's too young. He's going to mouth everything. So you have to gate off or proof an area and not be giving him free run in the house.
And the other thing you could do with the toys is have a basket or a box. People sometimes have a wooden box or a basket rather than a mat, something that sort of contains some of the puppy can reach into. Okay, so we have to go to another break. If you'll hold on, John, we'd love to answer some more of your questions.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Super. We'll be right back after this break, and John and the 10-week-old lab, who's going to be just a star in no time with the great advice we're giving him. You too can join us, 888-429-5471. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat-A-Track litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Your Dog's Best Friend. I'm here with Sarah. Sarah, I've got some notes for you at the bottom of the screen. So if you have a look at those, we can communicate while we're talking to folks. John, give us one more question because we have Richard holding as well with a question. We'd love to give you one more chunk of puppy advice. What's next on your hit list?
Okay, great. So I've been trying to get him on a leash when I'm outside. We don't have an electric fence. We don't have a fence in our yard. Do you have any advice as far as establishing, the leader of the pack, for a puppy. He was really fighting with the leash the whole time, trying to chew it and all that. So do you have any suggestions as far as establishing the leader?
Okay, so before Sarah answers, of course, I just want to say, of course you can handle it. We're both going to handle it. Before Sarah gives you advice about how to handle the leash, we don't believe, at least I don't believe, and I think Sarah doesn't believe in the idea that you're a leader and that that's what stops your puppy from playing with the leash. That's a sort of some TV thinking.
Amen to that. A 10-week-old puppy is 5 months shy of being put on a leash. You should only be having this puppy on a long line. I want you to go to my site, read about long lines. If you go into the tips, there's a free ebook on long lines. The puppy is feeling trapped and frustrated, which is leading to a manic reaction, both on the leash and off, and a very frustrated behavior whenever the puppy is in proximity to you.
Great answer.
Now, what you want to be doing is getting treats in a cup. So just put some treats in a cup. I love the infant no spill cups. And shake the cup and encourage the puppy to follow so that when you do have to put them on a leash, obviously to walk them into the vet or in public, you can use that treat cup and encourage the puppy to follow along that way.
Okay, so just the important message is that there's no dominance theory that has any truth in research about learning. That's
I have a great book for him.
Yeah, what is that great book?
Puppies for Dummies.
That's right, written by Sarah. It's great. No, seriously. What you see on television.
We read it.
Oh, great.
Well, then you should know that what you see on TV is actually a circus trainer, John. And that's not to say that you aren't the only one who's been confused by this concept of the pack leader, the person in charge, the person who's going to say what's what and who's who. And Sarah's answer is great. It's like asking a newborn infant to, I don't know, fly. You know, trying to get
to balance your checkbook.
Yeah, because Sarah and I can't balance our own checkbooks. So, I mean, let's not even go there. John, we are so thrilled you called, but we don't want to leave Richard hanging for too long. You're welcome to keep listening. And if we finish with Richard and we send out the telephone number again, just call us back. Or you can stay on hold, whichever you prefer. But we love that you called, and we want to have your puppy be part of our show. You know, we want you to call with questions all the time and tell us how he's growing, because we can have puppy envy that way, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Great to hear from you. Have a wonderful night. Our number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We'd love you to join us, as Richard is doing. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Excellent. You have a question for Sarah?
Yes, I do, Sarah. I have an unusual problem.
Oh, I can't wait to help you. Tell me.
Well, we have two Russian Mountain Shepherd puppies.
Oh, this is Dr. Richard. He has I looked them up today. Sarah, I don't think you've ever seen these dogs before. Caucasian Shepherds. They look like a Leon Burger or something.
Yeah.
They're humongous. Okay, this is the weirdest thing. I'm so glad you called, Richard. Sarah, if you can figure this one out, you deserve such a big gold star. I am baffled. All right, Richard, so tell the story. He drove 3,800. They're unbelievable. 3,800 miles he drove to the breeder in Nevada, which, by the way, anybody buying any puppy anywhere, if the breeder does not make you drive there, then they are probably a puppy miller. So Richard went a very long way to get these two kooky little puppies. So tell the story, Richard.
Oh, sure. And Tracy, I would not subject the puppy to putting him on a plane to be delivered. I don't like that.
No, you're all right. We're all for that. So tell us about these little nut jobs.
Yeah, okay. Well, when we got them at 6 weeks, they weighed 10 pounds. Now the male is at 4.5 months. He's 55 pounds, and the female is 43 pounds.
What are their names?
So, Felot is the male, and Giva is the female.
Got it.
Now, this is what they do. We take them for a walk. There's a subdivision behind our property. We go out on the street. It's maybe the whole round trip is less than a quarter mile. maybe 0.2 mile round trip to an intersection. Then we come back. When they get back to the yard, the little girl will just flop down limp. The little boy does a drama thing where he starts stumbling and wobbling, and then he does a like a somersault sideways, lays on his back.
Richard, can I
will not get up. Yes.
Richard, can I interrupt you? Can you turn your volume down? We're getting blowback from your voice because you've got it still on in the background. If you can, I don't know if you can do that.
I'm sorry. I thought I
no
had
problem.
It
you would never, you would never think of it. So basically, they go limp, Sarah. They go limp like a noodle. They just lie down like they're playing dead. And Richard and his wife have to carry them inside, and they realize they have a really big problem because soon the dogs will be bigger than the humans. They just flop down like it's not boiling hot weather.
Yeah, but here's what I envision. These are little babies. They aren't prone to linear walks any more than a 2 or 4 year old is. I would do several things. I would take them before a meal. I would take their meal for the next week or two, whenever possible. Put their meal in one of these treat cups.
No, honey, like he feeds raw. He feeds raw.
Oh, well, fine.
We can't. It's raw meat.
But that's fine.
With us, and we continually give them treats. When they lay down, they don't care about the treats. They won't get up.
Is it possible you're walking them too far for their age?
Oh, I don't think so, because if they see a bird, they'll jump up and run after it.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just floppy and lovey. I mean, the first thing I would do is when they flop down, I would flop down next to them. I would get right in their level and try to see the world from their perspective. You know, they have such a sweet, simple way of being. Just flop down, let your worries go for 30 seconds or a couple of minutes.
Oh,
so you might get
Sarah,
down
that's
there.
So sweet.
Take a nap. Then I want you to take a closed Tupperware filled with their raw breakfast. So after you've laid there with them for a minute and you rolled around and scratched their belly and say, okay, it's time to go home and have our breakfast, then open the Tupperware just a little bit and say, come on, I'll race you back. I'll race you back. I'll race you back. And see if you can just run in and end your walk that way. And so pattern your walks around your food, and that's how I would play it.
That might work because they want to eat all the time. They both eat about 3 pounds of meat a day.
I just and I think this the way she described it was great, and you may not be in a position, given whether it's sopping wet down below or something, to fully lie down, but I love the impulse behind that, which is just do their thing for a minute. Richard told me today, Sarah, about something. He knows a few other people with these extraordinary dogs, and one of them had a puppy from the same breeder, not the same litter, but there's very few of these breeders in the country. And her solution, which Richard thought maybe was okay, I thought was so awful, and I have to believe in some level it's inspired by that same TV show that all of us who actually are intelligent and care about dog training wish wasn't on the air, because I think it's inspiring horrendous things. Richard, tell Sarah what your friend did. I think it's going to upset her. And you thought, well, okay, if it worked for her, I'll try it. So she rides horses, and she has a pleasure horse. And what did she do with her puppy?
She tied her horses to the harness, and then when they laid down, she just dragged them across to the ground.
Slowly.
So they got up, and then they stayed up.
That?
And that cured them. That's what she
told me.
Yeah,
they're cured. You know what? I wish you could have her call in. I would smack her upside the head. I am so upset about it. I'm so upset about it. And then Richard says to me, I said, first of all, what about physically? This is a growing, gigantic animal. His joints, I mean, you could wrench anything besides the fact that this is not anything to do with training. This is just full-on absurd, crazy lion-taming stuff. And Richard said, oh, well, they were wearing a harness. Richard, that harness was not designed to have the dog dragged by a horse.
And it's – and. These
now,
are little,
look, I know.
These
now, she wasn't galloping. She was just walking.
Honey,
yeah,
I don't care if that horse was a Paso Fino and barely crossing the ground. That is not the solution to the problem.
Tracy, what happened in that moment at a deeper level is that it created such a fear and startle reaction. And
yes.
Who wants to have a pet that is has panic, you know,
yes.
that is behaving because they're afraid of the outcome. It's like the Great Oz. I don't want to be a Great Oz to my dogs.
Thank
I don't
you.
Want to be the Great Oz to my children. I want them to be with me because they feel safe and because they feel loved and they feel respected for their individuality.
I love that, Sarah. And you know, I went on the website of the breeder, Richard, and he was a good. It was you told me he's hard to understand. That he has a very, very heavy Russian accent. Either he is a very good writer in English or someone wrote it for him. But he was very clear that these animals are calm and loving and extremely protective. They protect whole flocks and herds. And it said, never, ever raise your hand to these dogs or do anything violent to them. Well, hello, dragging behind a horse?
Yeah.
That's just not on. So I love Sarah's attitude. And, you know, it'll probably inspire a whole nother way of dealing with these guys. Right, Sarah? That attitude, it's like see the world from their point of view and engage with them, like Sarah said, with their breakfast and go, come on, let's have fun. Not, if you don't do this, I'm attaching you to the tractor and we're going to have a little tractor. Because Richard said to me, I said, do you have a horse? He said, no, but I have a sit-on mower. Great. Great, Richard. You know
no,
what? You are
no,
too.
No. It's a mule.
Yeah, great. It's a mule. A living, breathing mule. Great. Well, I am really thrilled you called in. Sarah has now met a breed she probably had never met before, right, Sarah?
Yeah. Oh, I've never met one in person. I have heard of them, but aren't they just magnificent?
They're amazing, right?
Absolutely.
They
so,
are.
Richard, we want you to join us at other times with any questions.
And would you email me? You can get my email right on my site, a picture of your beauties.
Sure.
And I'd love a picture
now, Sarah,
of you lying on the floor. With
can
them.
I ask you another question?
Yes.
Uh-huh. My dog, Felot, likes to drink my wife's coffee.
I know. It's not particularly good for them. My little dog, Boozle, loves the same thing, loves coffee.
No kidding.
Yeah, but here there's the thing, Richard. If your little 3-month-old or 8-month-old or 5-year-old child loved coffee, and I said to you, well, then keep it out of his reach, and you said, well, they're really big, well, then put it higher or put it inside the microwave and you're not drinking
it. What's the question?
It's not on purpose. I just thought that was so strange that he would like her coffee.
No, I don't. I mean, I put milk in my coffee. You know,
I've seen kitties and dogs that'll drink your tea with milk.
They are. They do. It's not. You can't let them have it. I mean,
that's right. Exactly.
My child might love wine.
Not
but I'm not
fair. No, it's not on purpose. He's just sneaky.
No,
and
I
if
think
she has her coffee and, you know, gets distracted, he'll get it.
Well, and think how much she covets that coffee. He probably feels that filial
right.
love she has for the cup.
That's right.
Will be a part of it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I love that Sarah will help us to really think about the world through our animal's eyes. And that's exactly what we've done. He's seen your wife cup that cup and go, take that first drink and go, and the dog thinks, yeah, I want a piece of that action. So that's it. You give him something else to do while she's having her coffee. And we want you to stay in close radio contact, as they say in the internet radio world, so that we know how these guys are growing up. And do send Sarah photos. If you can't find her email, send it to radiopetlady@gmail.com. I will forward it. And I bet you you wind up in some article on the Huffington Post about what to do with your floppy puppy. I'll bet you anything.
Oh,
Richard,
yeah.
Thank you so much for calling. It's great that you did. Really delighted. We want more fantastic breeds of dogs to visit us. Well, thanks a lot and have a great evening. We're going to go to another break. When we come back, our number is 888-429-5471. Bring it to us. We want lots of curious and wonderful questions. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. And you can get $5 off if you've never ordered from The Honest Kitchen before. Jump online, order, and put DOGTALK5 in the code box to get $5 off. Sarah, I have a question for you that's kind of a socio-political, I'm not saying it correctly, but it's a really big conundrum. Someone came to me and said their lovely daughter, age, pick a number, 24, very allergic to dogs, had research and research decides that a poodle, which is understandable because they don't shed, they have hair, was what she wanted. She researched it like a genius, careful, talked to breeders, flew to Tampa from Boston because this breeder would not release the dog otherwise, brought it back in her lap. So she's with this little dark apricot mini poodle called Vivi. I think she might be able to call Vivi. Think she might be able to call next week, but this is such a big issue. She doesn't understand why the dog isn't house trained. She's 12 weeks old. So the whole issue that a toy breed, has such a tiny bladder and such a short little digestive tract and how often they need to be walked. And this gal, and this is my issue, goes to work every day and she is able to come back at lunchtime. This is a 12-week-old puppy, and I don't know what the analogy is. I think that their bladder is the size of a nickel or something just so tiny. What do you do if you're that young working woman, single, and you really, really wanted a puppy, not a grown dog, which probably would have been a little more practical, but you don't have the money? Well, first of all, even if you had the money to go to doggy daycare every day, you can't take a puppy that age to daycare. He hasn't even finished her shots. The super in the building is willing to take the little one out once a day. But what do you do? It's like, well, she obviously went to enormous trouble and personal expense and did it right to get the dog, but then she didn't kind of realize the rest of the story. What would you say? What do you say?
Well, first of all, my last two dogs were not solidly house trained until they were over 6 months. So don't sweat the small stuff. Number one, their bladder muscles are the last to form in a dog. Some, like, I have four dogs. None of them were quick housebreakers. But the dog before that housebroke literally in a day. Genius dog, one out of five. So number one, don't sweat. Number two, if you're going to be away, you need to have a pen set up. You need to cross train for a while until the bladder muscles firm up, which for most dogs don't happen until they're 4.5 or 5 months old.
And for a little one, maybe even longer. They can go shorter amounts of time without peeing is the point.
Yeah, but it's proportional. It's not like they're drinking the same amount of water as a golden retriever. But with the little ones, I like, especially with the little ones, I guess, because your home, even if it's an apartment, is so big proportional to their body that, you know, it's like a den and a sub den and a neighbor's den. It's like a rabbit hole down there.
Yes.
So I like keeping them in a playpen or a safe room when you're away. Initially, I put four of those wee-wee pads down. So there's a large cornered area for them to go potty.
Apparently she grabs the pee pad, of which maybe only one was put down, and I believe she had full run of the house, which no puppy should. She just picks it up and runs around and plays with it.
Well,
what do you think about those? What do you think about
those trays?
That's like a little piece of astroturf, and there's a tray underneath. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's you know, you can tape those things down, but that gets arduous, and you know, then tape sticks to your floor, and it's a pain in the neck. But I love the trays. If it's any consolation, when I do these radio shows, my little dog, whose name is Bamboozle. My little Boozle is in my arms, sitting on my lap for the whole show.
Wow.
And with him, I had my German Shepherd's crate. I would put paper in half of the crate, and I'd put a bed and some toys in the other half of the crate. And that went on till he was about 6.5 months.
And how many hours a day, though, would he be in there?
Well, not very many. I have sitters and kids and family.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's my concern.
Not more than 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But,
so that's the concern. So then I think you're right. You get the playpen, which they make them for dogs. It's just a little bit different.
Gate off a small room. Exactly.
Right. And I think that those loos where it's and they also sell something, although you could just, you know, get her to pee on there once or put her poo on there once. They sell something that makes it an attractant. A lot of the companies that make
those. Well, you said it. Just
just put her own stuff there. And then there's a pull-out tray and it goes in and it becomes like a gel. It's quite clever. The pee goes through. The poo you pick up later, but the pee goes through into a tray underneath. And the really good ones, it's not sloshing around water, which I had always imagined. Well, not water, pee. But there's something that catches it and turns it into a liquid, a hard gel or a gushy gel,
well,
like Jell-O.
The beauty of it, Tracy, is that when the puppy gets old enough to hold their urine for longer stretches of time, you take the tray, you put it out in your yard, or you put it out on the porch,
right.
And then you just shift the puppy outside. And then it even
That's
gets
good.
Better. In the cold of winter,
yes,
you take
ma'am.
The tray and you put it out in the garage or you put it under an awning so
yep.
you don't have to go out there shoveling and traipsing through snow.
Or if she's really a tiny little thing, even she could grow up and only be 6 or 7 pounds, maybe in the dead of winter, you bring the tray back inside. You're right. It's the fact that it could be indoors or out, so it's always her place. Then if she happens to go outside on the grass or the gutter, that's good too.
Bingo.
So I guess that – bingo. So I think what we need to do as we wrap up is decide which of those products we like best and invite one of them to be a sponsor of the show, because I think – it's a really great way to house train. And paper and pee-pee pads just have so many downsides to them. I know
they
there's
have trays for them too now, though.
Oh, clever, do they?
Yeah, it just clamps it down.
But,
it's not
but,
rocket
but,
science.
But,
I mean, you could use a
I
couple
guess
of
not.
Bricks, really.
That's true, but then you've got this sopping pee-pee pad, and it's kind of
sopping
gross looking.
Sopping bricks, and who wants
Yeah, I think we them? Want the tray. I think we want someone to, you know, the fairy godmother to give her – one of the, and you don't need a very big one for a dog that size. It doesn't have to take up a lot of room. So a playpen area and one of these
when they're puppies, you should maybe get two trays or the largest tray because you want to give them a big target.
Thank you.
Hit.
You're right. You're right. So they get on there and they've got a lot of room to nose around and turn around and. Okay. So we've solved that problem at least partially.
Oh, one more. Take up any carpets because carpets are very absorbent and it's very confusing for a puppy.
That's a good point. Yeah. And if it's a rental, you want to somehow get them up or get them covered or otherwise you're going to have some really big fee when you move out.
No.
Hard floors. Or only let the puppy in the hard floored area, which would be the kitchen, bathroom, laundry area, whatever, even a hallway, not in the rooms with carpet.
Bingo.
Well, Sarah, nice. We've solved a lot of fun problems tonight. And yet again, we want to reiterate, no dragging your puppy behind a horse. Okay? That's just like the takeaway message for tonight. Hello. And yes, and you don't have to be your dog's leader. You don't have to be Oz. You could be just like Sarah. You could just lie on the ground and look up at the world from the puppy's point of view.
Yeah.
I love that, Sarah. It's a great attitude. another really fun show. I hope that Vivi's mother calls next week and we can tell her all about. Well, in the meantime, I'll research these trays and find out the one we like best, right?
Bingo. Great.
Bingo. All right, Bamboozle. Give Bamboozle a hug and a kiss for all of us and all of you out there. Hug your pooches and kiss your kitties. Say hi to Halo for me. Halo, Edith,
I will
Halo.
Do it. Halo, my kitty.
Halo, your kitty. Good night, everybody.
Hello,
talk
Halo.
To you next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.